Hey everyone, I'm Thanos Davelis, and welcome back to The Greek Current, a podcast by the Hellenic American Leadership Council and Kathy Merini, where we highlight the top stories of the day every afternoon with analysis from guest experts, policymakers, journalists, and HELC staff. Turkey's President Erdogan is planning to visit the occupied northern part of Cyprus on July 20th, the anniversary of Turkey's invasion of Cyprus in 1974, where events are expected to focus on the fenced-off town of Varosha. Turkey is planning major infrastructure developments in occupied Varosha, which is in direct contravention of multiple UN Security Council resolutions. The UN Secretary General has stated his concern over Turkish activity in Varosha, while the European Union has also stepped up pressure over the issue. The U.S. administration has been in touch with Nicosia over these developments, and both the United States House of Representatives and the Senate are raising the issue with the administration. We spoke to Foreign Minister Nikos Christodoulidis on Sunday night about Turkey's provocative steps in Varosha, the diplomatic steps Cyprus is taking in response, and the need for the international community, including the European Union and the United States, to put pressure on Turkey. Foreign Minister Christodoulidis, welcome back onto the Greek Current podcast.
Thank you very much for the invitation and the opportunity to discuss important developments in Cyprus, in the Eastern Mediterranean, important developments that influence directly also the U.S. interest, and if I can call it the Western interest in the region.
Mr. Minister, as we're approaching the 47th dark anniversary of Turkey's 1974 invasion of Cyprus, Turkish President Erdogan and Turkish Cypriot leader Ersin Tatar have taken several provocative steps that make a solution to the Cyprus issue look more distant than ever. And perhaps the most provocative, because it's so tangible, is their plan for Varosha. Can you tell us where the Varosha issue stands today?
Yes, you're right that at the moment when all involved, I will say the international community, are expected to act in a way conducive to the resumption of negotiations for the solution of the Cyprus problem based on bizonal bicommunal federation, it is evident that the entire effort will be severely damaged if Turkey is allowed to move forward with the opening of the fenced area of Varosha. Let me remind everybody that the Security Council has called since 1984 for the transfer of the area of Varosha to the administration of the United Nations before and in anticipation of an overall solution of the Cyprus problem. So any move on the ground that creates what I would say new fait accompli, pointing to the direction opposite to the immediate transfer of the area to the administration of the United Nations constitutes a violation of the UN Security Council resolutions.
The UN Security Council responded to Turkey's provocations on Varosha last fall with a presidential report. According to press reports, Secretary General Guterres has recommended the renewal of UNFISIP's mandate for a further 6 months and has stated his concern over Turkish activity in Varosha. And the European Union as well has stepped up its pressure on Erdogan over this issue. You're about to head to Brussels. What further pressure do you expect the international community to apply in this situation?
You are right that any action on the ground towards a direction opposite from the transfer of the area to the administration of the United Nations, so as to follow for the return of the lawful inhabitants of the area to their home, is a clear violation of the provisions of the relevant UN Security Council resolution. And that is why, actually, the Security Council was vocal on the matter, reiterating that no actions should be carried out in relation to Varosha that are not in accordance with the relevant resolution, and in this context called for the reversal of Turkey's course of action, stressing the importance of full respect and implementation of the resolution. And let me also say that the Security Council has recalled the status of Varosha as set out in the relevant resolution, in its latest resolution, 2537 on 2020 and 2561, 2021 on Cyprus. Yes, I'm on my way to Brussels. Tomorrow there is a Foreign Affairs Council. The main message to my European colleagues, but also the message to the international community and especially the United States, because we believe that the United States has leverage over Turkey. We are all familiar, if you want, with how Turkey operates. If the international community is perceived by Turkey as weak or indecisive in its response, Ankara will see no reason to backtrack from implementing its planning in relation to Varosha. And not only that, also, in general, with the Eastern Mediterranean and the greater Middle East, will proceed with more provocative and illegal actions that will negatively influence also the interests of the United States, the interests of the European Union, the interests of the international community. So what is important now is to act reactively. Before Mr. Erdogan coming to Cyprus, before July 20, in order, as I told you, to stop Mr. Erdogan from proceeding with more provocations.
Last week, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen was in Cyprus, and she was clear that the European Union won't accept any solution that includes a two-state solution for Cyprus. Can you talk about some of the diplomatic efforts now that you're going to be engaged with your European partners on the issue of Varosha in the next days?
We're using all available means, which are diplomatic, political, and legal means in order to stop Turkey. Discussing with the President of the Commission, the President of the Council, with European leaders, even with the United States, as you very well know, President Anastasiadis sent a letter to President Biden. In reply to President Biden's letter, I was on the phone with Secretary of State. The main message is that it is imperative that we act now, preventatively, so as not to find ourselves before a situation that is irreversible. We cannot allow to Mr. Erdogan to deliver on his promises to announce, as he called it, surprises to the world during his upcoming illegal visit to the occupied part of Cyprus. That is why the European Union, the United States, the international community needs to intensify its effort and act decisively and preventatively now, and most certainly before July 20. And the only way to prevent Turkey from proceeding with the implementation of its planning in relation to Varosha or other issues is to send now a clear message of decisiveness from the international community.
You mentioned the correspondence between President Biden and President Anastasiadis on the issue and your call with Secretary Blinken. There have also been two letters that were sent from members of the House of Representatives to the Biden administration regarding Varosha, and a letter drafted by Senators Menendez and Van Hollen is being signed by more senators and is to be sent to President Biden early this week. You talk about the need to step up these efforts. What more do you think that the United States specifically can do here?
First of all, it needs to be clear to Turkey that if it proceeds, the international community, the United States and the European Union, will need to deliver on its words. In a number of cases, we warn Mr. Erdogan, the international community, the United States, the European Union, but they need to deliver this time. If we fail to prevent such a scenario, then it is very important to react. And you know, I made a point in a number of cases, even publicly, and I would like to repeat this point now. There needs to be consistency in how we react to violations of international law in order for the international community, for the European Union, for the United States, to have credibility. Our reflexes have been quick in reacting very correctly in many cases of violations of international law and human rights in third countries, as I told you rightly so. The same reflexes need to be put in motion when the violation concerns an EU member state with very close links, as you very correctly know, with the United States.
Speaking of President Biden, securing some type of deal on Varosha was one of the original reasons for his 2014 trip to Cyprus as vice president. Turkish intransigence prevented such a deal from coming to fruition. How do you think the memories of this intransigence affects the approach of President Biden and his national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, who was also his national security advisor in 2014 and accompanied him to Cyprus? Might it make the confidence-building measures that President Anastasiadis restated in his correspondence with President Biden a bigger priority for the United States?
First of all, let me say that President Biden and the Secretary of State and of course, the national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, know very well the Cyprus problem, know very well the issue of Varosha. And indeed, the main reason of his visit in Cyprus in 2014, it was the first visit of a U.S. vice president since 1964, when the then Vice President Johnson visited Cyprus. One of the main reasons of the visit of President Biden, it was to announce that a team of international experts will enter the fence area of Varosha in order to prepare a plan for the restoration of the city in order for the lawful inhabitants to return to the fence area. And even the day before his visit, we reached an understanding that such an announcement will be made by then Vice President Biden following a meeting with President Anastasiadis and the then Turkish Cypriot leader, Mr. Eroglu. Unfortunately, a few hours before the arrival of Mr. Biden in Cyprus, Turkey said that it cannot accept such an understanding, and that was the main reason why Vice President Biden didn't announce the specific idea. Also, as you mentioned, President Anastasiadis put forward since January some bold confidence-building measures, including the issue of Varosha, which in a way it is implementation of what the UN Security Council resolutions are stating. And we are looking forward to the support of the United States and the European Union in order to move forward with such bold confidence-building measures. Such measures, if they're going to be implemented, they are going to have a positive effect also to the efforts for the overall solution of the Cyprus problem. So we count on the United States as a close partner of Cyprus. We count on our European Union partners to convey a clear message so as to avoid a new fait accompli in Cyprus, but also in development that will, I'm sure everybody understands, will have a seriously detrimental effect on EU-Turkey relations and not only. In case our efforts, in case efforts of the international community is not successful, then we need to react, both the European Union and the United States.
Turkey and Turkish Cypriots' talking points to current U.S. officials, whether it is their focus on non-existent Turkish Cypriot sovereignty over Varosha or their demand to have political decision-making when it comes to Cyprus's exclusive economic zone and energy diplomacy, indicate that they're trying to fool certain officials into pursuing creeping recognition of the pseudo-state. How can we expose this disingenuous approach to the Cyprus problem, which very much came to the forefront in an infamous exchange between you and Turkish Foreign Minister Cavusoglu at the United Nations, and make sure that Turkey finally complies with UN Security Council resolutions on Cyprus?
It is very important, especially at this juncture, the international community to send a clear message to Turkey that there is no way for the illegal regime in Cyprus to be recognized. And it is very important that even in the recent draft report of the UN Secretary General, it clearly mentioned that there is only one internationally recognized state in Cyprus. So the upcoming discussion in the Security Council, which will take place on July 21st, one day after the illegal visit of Mr. Erdogan in Cyprus, it will be very important to send this clear message to Turkey that there is no other way to solve the Cyprus problem. The only possible solution is a bizonal by communal federation as described in the relevant Security Council resolutions.
Foreign Minister Christodoulidis, it was great speaking with you again on The Greek Current. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Thanos.
In other news, as part of the groundwork for the planned EastMed natural gas pipeline, Greece, Cyprus, and Israel have leased a research vessel to conduct seismic surveys between Cyprus and Crete, and also between Cyprus and Israel. The move comes as Turkey announced that it will be expanding its search for natural gas in the eastern Mediterranean and conducting surveys in the region, putting additional pressure on Nicosia and also on Athens. The area in question includes not only parts of the territorial waters of Turkey, but also a significant part of Cyprus's exclusive economic zone off the coast of the northern occupied part of the island. Finally, the arrival in full force of the Delta coronavirus variant and the new spike in cases is prompting Greece to step up efforts to boost vaccination rates, amid growing concern about the possible effects on tourism and the economy in general. Beginning this week, Greece will reportedly also allow 15 to 17-year-olds to be vaccinated against COVID-19, as the data is showing that Delta variant infections are taking place almost exclusively among unvaccinated young people. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Mitsotakis is expected on Tuesday to announce the government's decisions on making COVID-19 vaccines mandatory for specific professional groups and on how indoor entertainment and leisure venues will operate. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.